wonder this morning, have you ever experienced one of those moments where you think that you've blown it? Where you think you've got it totally, totally wrong? You've had your big chance to impress, to show people what you're made of, and you fluffed it. You fell flat on your face, and all you wanted to do was for the ground to swallow you up, or for you to just climb under those bed covers, put them over your head, and just stay there forever. Have you ever had a moment like that? Is it just me? Have you ever had a moment like that where you just thought that you'd blown it? Perhaps it was a presentation that you had to do in front of your bosses. I don't know. Perhaps it was an interview that you had for a promotion. You got it totally wrong. A bad date, perhaps in the past, that you had with someone you liked. Or the way that you spoke to your spouse or a friend that just caused division between you. There perhaps can even be times when you've not done anything wrong, only for things to just fall apart. Or perhaps you just feel like that you've got to a place in your life where you've missed your chance. Where perhaps you're too old now, or too past what you thought and what you dreamt of. Everything perhaps has looked so desperate. Perhaps even at this moment for you, things feel desperate. And you've wondered, you've asked the question, what now? What do I do now? Will I ever recover from this? At times, all we probably wish for at that moment is a second chance. A second chance to perhaps put it right. A second chance to put a better thing forward of ourselves. Thomas A. Edison. Have you heard of Thomas Edison? Yeah, he was working on a crazy contraption called a light bulb. And it took a whole team of 24 hours straight to put just one together. That's what it was like right at the beginning. The story goes that when Edison was finished with one light bulb, he gave it to a young boy helper who nervously carried it upstairs. Can you imagine the nerves as he's carrying his prototype up to the place where it needs to go? Step by step, he cautiously watched his hands, obviously frightened of dropping such a priceless piece of work. You probably guessed what happened by now, but the poor young fellow dropped the bulb at the top of the stairs. It took then the whole entire team of men 24 more hours to make another bulb. Finally, tired and ready for a break, Edison was ready to have his bulb carried back up those stairs. He gave it to the same young man, the boy who dropped the first one. Now that's some kind of trust, isn't it? He gave him a second chance. In the Bible, we see numerous examples of people who blew it or seemingly would not get their chance to fulfill their destiny. Peter, we all know Peter, don't we? From the Bible, one of the disciples, one of the close friends of Jesus. Three times, when Jesus needed him most at his arrest, Peter denied Jesus. Joseph was imprisoned even though he ran away from Potiphar's wife. Even though there was that temptation there to be with her, he was trustworthy, respectful, he ran away, and yet still he ended up in prison because of false accusation. Jonah, overcome with fear about speaking to the Ninevites, went in the opposite direction from where he was meant to go and got swallowed by a whale. He blew it. Saul of Tarsus, later known as Paul, systematically persecuted Christians. He was there when Stephen was stoned and he was had all the clothes around him and he was giving the go-ahead and was giving the, yeah, that's what you should be doing. But it's never too late. If you wanted a tagline for today's sermon of what it's all about, is this: it is never too late. God is the God of the second chance. See, Peter was restored by Jesus after Jesus' resurrection. And Peter became the leading founder of the Christian church. Joseph, though put in prison as a result of nothing he had done, became the second in command of Egypt behind Pharaoh. Jonah repented while in the whale and went on to preach the word of God to Nineveh and saw the city changed. Saul of Tarsus was renamed Paul and went from persecuting Christians to being a proclaimer of the gospel. And as we know, the writer of much of the New Testament. People, each of those and many others that were given a second chance. It's never too late. Say that with me, will you? It's never too late. It's not too late for you today. It's not too late for me today. God is the God of the second chance. I'm sure, as we've said, we've all experienced those moments when either a result of our own doing or a missed opportunity, we found ourselves wondering, what now? And is this the end? Will I ever get to where I believe I need to be? It can be so easy to want to give up, but I believe God will want to remind us that it's never too late. God is the God of the second chance. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 3 that I said to turn to a few moments ago, we're going to read the first few verses of that chapter, first 14 verses. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. May God bless his word to our hearts as we continue in this theme of it's never too late. God is the God of the second chance. So Moses, this guy we've just looked at here in Scripture, is another character who received a second chance. To get the full story, we have to kind of flip back to chapter 2. Moses was born to Levite parents. But because of the oppression that the Israelites were under from the Egyptians, Moses' mother hid him in a basket amongst the bulrushes. Pharaoh's daughter finds him and brings him up as her own. So Moses is given the finest education and upbringing and is believed to have been in line to take over as a ruler of Egypt. But all of that changes when Moses, around 40 years old at this point, sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, his own people. Seeing this, he doesn't have it, and he murders the Egyptian in cold blood. The next day, Moses sees two Israelites arguing. Again, he breaks them up to only find one of them seemingly knows what he's done to the Egyptian. And so afraid is he that he's been found out, that he runs off to Midian. There, Moses married a Midianite called Zipporah, where he became a shepherd to his father-in-law's sheep. Moses now finds himself in a foreign land, looking after sheep in the desert. This is probably not what he dreamed of at all. Only a matter of weeks earlier, he was in line to the throne of Egypt. Dreams in tatters, Pharaoh after him for the murder, uncertain of what the future held, you can be sure that Moses probably thought that he'd blown it. We pick up our story in the reading we've just read in chapter 3. Now, chapter 3 doesn't start a week later. Chapter 3 doesn't start a month later. Chapter 3 starts 40 years later. You can probably imagine that he thought he'd blown it. So Moses is now 80 years old. It's likely that Moses had far gone past the point of believing that there'd be a second chance for him. He had his wife, his two sons, and he probably made peace that this would be his lot. But what Moses hadn't accounted for was God's belief that it's never too late. Some of us here this morning need to understand that it's never too late for God to turn your situation around, to replace that missed opportunity, to make good that mistake you made, to restore that which is broken. God is the God of the second chance. It's never too late. It wasn't too late for Moses at 80 years old, so therefore it's not too late for you either. But there's a few things that we need to understand. And the first one of them is this. God wants to grab your attention. God wants to grab your attention. Verse 1 of our reading says this. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Moses is in the desert, going about his shepherding, minding his own business, when everything changes. Moses noticed out of the corner of his eye that a bush was on fire. Now that in itself, be it a bush being on fire, is not particularly unusual. They were in the desert, in the heat of the sun. Dry wood plus hot sun equals potential fire. So it wasn't that that caught his attention particularly, but it was the fact that rather, verse 2 tells us that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. That is what caught his attention. Now Moses probably thought at the beginning of the day it was going to be like any other day of shepherding, but God had other ideas. God wanted to capture Moses' attention, to take his focus from himself and to place it onto God. So you use the ordinary, a normal burning bush to display the extraordinary, a bush that was not burning up and which actually contained God's presence. Moses was in a desert physically, but you could probably say he was also in the desert spiritually as well. I don't think it's coincidence that God often speaks to us the most when we're in the desert place. Because it's the place where we're on our knees, the place when perhaps we're in that desperation, that need to see a change. King David wrote a lot of the Psalms, and one of his Psalms from Psalm 63 verse 1, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, says these words, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. A desert place is often a place without refreshment. Physically, in the desert, it's hot, there's no water. Dehydrate, all of those things. A desert spiritually can feel like that there's no way through. Can feel like there's no refreshing from the things of God. So David cries out. And we, at these moments, should cry out. Moses was in that desert place when suddenly the extraordinary invaded the ordinary. God used that seemingly normal bush to capture his attention, to draw him closer. He could have ignored it, but instead he chose to respond and to investigate. Verse 3 says, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. I wonder this morning, is God trying to get your attention? Is he wanting to shift your focus off the desert scene you're encountering? Is he wanting to take your focus off the shame of the past, the consequence from a bad decision, the pain of a missed opportunity, and put you into your own burning bush experience? Take a look around you right now. What do you see? Is God trying to capture your attention? Because I believe that he is. You see, it's from the place of the wasteland desert where everything seems so desolate and hopeless that hope can spring forth and God brings the unexpected second chance. Isaiah 43, verse 19. Puts it this way, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God appeared to Moses in the form of a burning bush. Verse 2 says, there the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in flames of fire from within the bush. I wonder this morning, how will God choose to appear to you? Could it be through a disruption to your everyday life? Could it be through an image that you see around you? Could it be through the words of a conversation that you have with others? Could it be through your personal devotions or through scripture? Because it could be in any number of ways. But the question remains this, will you respond to God trying to capture your attention? Because I believe that God is always trying to capture our attention in whatever situation we find ourselves. It's never too late. The second thing we need to understand is this. For those second chances, for that never too late moments, is that God won't speak to you until he has your full attention. Now God didn't speak immediately from the bush. While Moses still had part of his attention on the sheep, God didn't speak. It was until Moses had given his full undivided attention and had gone over to see what was happening. It was then that God spoke. Verse 4 says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. Attention, communication, giving your full focus is what's really important. I know I've mentioned it many, many times. But you know, Erica and I, when we're communicating, I need to have my full attention on her, not to have it on something else. I'll never fully grasp what it is she's trying to say if I have my attention on something else, as valid as I may think it is. God wants our full attention on him. We can often question why God's not answering us and can complain about being in that desert place, yet we haven't been willing to put that full attention on seeking for God. We still get distracted by the things of the world or trying to work out an answer for ourselves. But it's only when we place our full attention on him that we are able to hear. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. And Jeremiah 33 verse 3 gives us a great indication of how we're to speak to God. It says, call to me and I'll answer you. I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. It's God's voice, and his only, that makes the difference in our circumstances. When God finally spoke to Moses, the first two words were, Moses, Moses. It wasn't, you've done this, you murdered that Egyptian 40 years ago. I'm wanting to speak to you about it now. The first words out of his mouth were, Moses, Moses. God knew Moses by name. Moses was in a foreign land, away from where he was brought up, from his own people, the Israelites, and from his adopted nation, Egypt. God knew his history, he knew his story, the ups and downs that Moses had been through. He called him by name. Moses was not irrelevant. Moses was important to God. You may feel today as if maybe no one knows your name. But if you weren't here, who would really care? You don't have the influence, you don't have the platform, you don't have the social media presence. It can feel that perhaps you don't exist to the world. But God calls you by name. Helena, Erica, Alison, Grace, Charlotte, John, Joshua, Gloria, Jean. He calls you, calls all of us by name. What I find interesting is the double use of Moses' name. It wasn't just Moses, it was Moses, Moses. Why did God do that? To get Moses' attention. Because God had something of great importance to say to him. And when there was often in the Bible where there was something of great importance to say, the name was used twice. There are other places in the Bible where a person's name is used twice. Saul on the road to Damascus. God said to Saul, 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 why do you persecute me? Jesus himself on the cross said, Eloi, Eloi, which means my God, my God. In times of importance, in times where something needs to be said, names are used twice. God is calling you today by your name, waiting to see if you will respond. Moses responded to God by saying, here I am. How will you respond? Will you say, God, here I am? It's never too late. Next, when we're looking at the God of the second chance and that never too late moment, we have to realize who you're speaking to. The holy God on holy ground. After Moses' response to God, here I am, God replied to him, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Moses was in the presence of the perfect, sinless God of the universe. Moses could God not go any further without a risk of death. In verse 6, God then introduces himself and says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The truth is, no one can look at God and survive. Exodus 33 verse 20 says, God says to Moses in another illustration, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. So I can understand like God saying, you know, don't come any closer. You can't see me face to face, don't come any closer. But why the sandals? Why take off the sandals? What's all that about? Many cultures around our world have a custom where people take off their shoes at the front door before entering the homes, and it's a sign of respect. Moses was to take off the sandals on God's holy ground as a sign of humility and in recognition of God's presence. It's also possible as a sign of taking off the worldly to encounter the holy. Things have changed since the days of Moses when coming into God's presence. As part of the Old Covenant, during Moses' time, sin offerings were needed to be made on behalf of the people, and only the priests could enter into God's presence on behalf of others. But we now live under the New Covenant, the one that was established with Jesus' death and resurrection. The one where the curtain that separated man from God has been torn from top to bottom. We can now enter God's presence with confidence. Ephesians 3 verse 12 says this: because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. This is great news for us. However, this gift that we have should never be taken lightly. We should never go into God's presence blasé. God's presence is perfect. Sin cannot be tolerated, and it's only by Christ's sacrifice that our sins are forgiven. We must therefore make sure we're right before him before we enter his presence, because we enter into holy ground. Entering into his presence, whether you're in church or whether you're at home, entering into God's presence is an important thing, and we should never take it lightly. Yes, we can go in with confidence, but never go in blasé. We serve a holy God, and where he is holy. So let's remember that. Holy ground, holy God. And then finally, it's never too late, is it? God is the God of the second chance, and God still has purposes for you and I to achieve. God had seen the oppression that the Israelites were facing from the Egyptians. He'd heard their cry, and it was time for a response. Verse 7 says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. God could have easily done what was needed himself, but he wanted to include Moses, an old man, a stammering old man, an ex-murderer, in his plans to bring about his purposes. Verse 10 says, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. It's never too late. God is the God of the second chance. It was not too late for Moses, a murderer, an 80-year-old murdering man who stammered. It was not too late for him. It's not too late for you. It's not too late for me. It's never too late. You know, God still has plans and purposes for you. Some of you have given up on yourself. Some of you have given up on those promises that God has given you. Others of you are perhaps even on the verge of giving up. But it's not too late. You may feel ill-equipped. You may question, like Moses did, if you're the person for the job. Verse 11 says, who am I that I should go, said Moses. God promised Moses that he would be with him and promised that they would all worship God on the mountain where they were at that moment. It took a while for Moses to understand and to agree. A whole chapter, in fact. But Moses finally agreed, and he went to challenge Pharaoh and to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. The important things for us to remember is this. It's about obedience to what God asks. Sometimes our past or our fears can bring up excuses as to why we can't do what God asks. But if God thinks I'm good enough, if God thinks you're good enough, it should be good enough for us. It's not about the past. It's not about how skilled you are. It's about the God who knows you are right for the job. Don't let your doubts, fears, or how you feel about yourself or how others think of you paralyze you and stop you achieving what God has planned for you. You don't go into this on your own. Verse 12 of our reading says these great words, I will be with you. The God of the universe goes with you and fights on your side. Philippians 4 verse 13 reminds us that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's never too late. Age is irrelevant. Your past is not the yardstick. Skills are not important. Obedience is the key. God has still got plans and purposes for you, regardless of what people have said, regardless of how old you may feel, regardless of any other number of factors that you may bring into this situation. None of those can discount you from what God has got. God is the God of the second chance. In fact, that's not quite true. He's the God of the infinite chance. As long as we continually do two things. We don't ignore him when we make a mistake, but we ask for forgiveness. And with his help, we seek to change. We seek to become better than we were. The only times that things can't change is when you've died. But things can change. You can always change. God brings those second chances to us, those third chances. But he wants to see our willingness to ask for forgiveness and our perseverance and our need and want to see change. It's never too late. Some of you need to be reminded that it's not too late for you. God has not finished with you. He still has plans and purposes despite the desert you may feel you're in at the moment. You see, it's in the desert and barrenness where God does his best work. Look for the extraordinary in the ordinary. Put your whole focus on him so you can hear him speak. Remember who it is that you serve, the holy God on holy ground. And go obeying what God tells you to do. It's never too late, because God is the God of the second chance. Let's pray together, shall we?